Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Apparently, there are companies out there making electric cars. Electric cars. I know it's a novel concept. I know it's mind-blowing. But apparently, they're out there. So Jason sent me this story from the Associated Press. And I've talked about electric cars on a few different occasions, different topics. One topic is that there actually are now states that are saying that they're going to stop allowing the sale of gasoline engine-powered cars, internal combustion engine cars, in a year in the future, so that you have to start thinking towards getting an electric car. There's also countries that have announced that. So this is most likely the wave of the future. But there, of course, are some kinks to be worked out in this. U.S. safety investigators say electric vehicle fires pose risks to first responders. And I think I've mentioned electric cars on fire before because they present different problems than typical internal combustion engine fire in cars. Out of Detroit, electric vehicle fires pose safety risks to first responders, and guidelines from manufacturers about how to deal with them have been inadequate. This is according to people from the U.S. government. There are gaps in industry safety standards and also research on the high-voltage lithium-ion battery fires, especially in high-speed, severe crashes. This is according to the National Transportation Safety Board. And again, you know, not every electric car is going to burst into flames. No one's saying that. But if one does, and it's often because of an accident. And so this is the conundrum for automobile manufacturers. You can build a car that is efficient, that is affordable, that is good-looking, that handles well, that's powerful. These are all design criteria, right? You can say, okay, how do we make it look better? How do we make it handle better? But then where it gets tricky is, okay, how do we make it to where, for instance, the passengers are more likely to survive a crash? That's a field of study. It's been around for a while now. What do we do if the vehicle's in a crash and it bursts into flames? And that's something they have to think about because it's possible. So the agency, which has no enforcement powers and can only make recommendations, called for manufacturers to write vehicle-specific response guides for fighting battery fires and limiting chemical thermal runaway and reignition. And I'm not going to get into a dissertation on chemistry because the minute I say that I'm not going to get into a dissertation on something, someone's going to chime in and go, you don't know what you're talking about, even though I didn't talk about it. But, yes, it happened 2 days ago. Different things burn differently. There, argue with that. And so gasoline, for instance, if that's what's burning, burns a certain way. Now, if one of these lithium ion batteries catches on fire, the chemical reaction that is taking place is a little bit different than the chemical reaction that's taking place with gasoline that's burning. It has to be, because the chemicals are different. So many people know, you learn this when you're about, I don't know, 3 years old. If there's a piece of paper that's on fire, you can splash water on it and put it out. Then you later learn as you grow up that you can't just splash water on every fire because that won't put out every kind of fire, okay? So the guidelines should also include information on how to safely store vehicles with damaged lithium-ion batteries. So let's suppose you have an electric car, it gets in an accident, it seems to be okay, so now you bring it home. Do you put it in your garage? Should you put it in your garage? The call for recommendations comes at a time when automakers are rolling out multiple new electric vehicle models, with many in the industry perceiving an inflection point in switching from gasoline power to electricity. The agency, in its recent report, also asked for firefighter and auto towing associations to inform its members about risks with fires and how to deal with energy remaining in the battery after a crash and on how to safely store a vehicle with a damaged battery. It's asking the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to include the availability of an emergency response guide when it calculates five-star vehicle safety scores. NHTSA should also build a coalition to research ways to de-energize batteries and reduce hazards from thermal runaway, a chemical reaction that causes uncontrolled battery temperatures and pressure increases. NTSB started investigating battery fires after crashes and fires in Lake Forest and Mountain View, California, and Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in 2017 and 2018. It also probed a non-crash fire in West Hollywood, California. Three of the batteries reignited after the fires were extinguished or thought to be extinguished. All four vehicles were made by Tesla, which is the top-selling electric vehicle maker in the U.S. And again, I'm not knocking Tesla. Someone's bound to point out the math on that. How many cars they sold? And four of them are in the story. Four sounds like a lot if you owned four cars and all four of them had problems. But in the entire fleet of all Teslas built, four is a very small number. The risks of electric shock and battery reignition and fire arise from the stranded energy that remains in a damaged battery, the agency said. In the August 2017 fire in Lake Forest, a Tesla Model X battery caught fire after the vehicle left a road and crashed into a residential garage at a high speed. An NTSB engineer and a highway investigator said in a video that firefighters poured thousands of gallons of water onto the roof of the vehicle. They didn't realize that they had to direct water onto the battery compartment under the car to cool the battery and stop the reaction causing the fire. In an 80-page report, the NTSB wrote that a review of emergency response guidelines from 36 manufacturers found that all had ways to mitigate the risk of high-voltage shocks, including methods for disconnecting the battery. But none of the guides spoke to limiting the risk of energy stored in the batteries, such as procedures for minimizing reignition or instructions on where and how to spray water to cool the batteries, the agency said. One way to deal with damaged batteries is to pull them from the vehicle and soak them in a salt water bath to discharge the energy. Of course, that's not something the average person is qualified to do, and I doubt that many of the people show up at a fire scene bringing with them a salt water bath. In a statement, NHTSA said that last week it started a battery safety initiative to address growing concerns about electric vehicle and structure fires ignited by batteries. Under the initiative, the agency will analyze data, investigate fires, and oversee investigations of electric vehicle crashes, the agency said. Messages were left Wednesday seeking comment from Tesla, the National Fire Protection Association, and the Alliance for Automotive Innovation, a large automaker trade group. Now, I remember when I was towing cars back in the late 70s, early 80s, we had problems with vehicles that get wrecked. And it's, again, getting back the idea that car companies design cars. Their first job is to design what gets sold to the consumer. But they do have the job of thinking about what happens over the life cycle of the car. What becomes of that car? And the car can deteriorate. It can be abused. It can also get damaged. And I remember towing vehicles that had been in bad front end accidents. Antifreeze leaks out of the front end of the car. Battery acid would leak out of the batteries. Other things would leak. I remember a vehicle had a really bad transmission pan leak after a collision. And something had gotten crunched in such a way that it split something underneath. It may have actually been a transmission line. I didn't look, but all I know is that underneath this vehicle was transmission fluid. And I got the impression that the transmission itself was contributing to the fluid, but may have been a line. And then also, you know, other things. So I remember going to a scene and your number one concern is your safety. You don't want to get run over by somebody while you're hooking up a car because the cars are often in the road or next to the road. So you show up at the scene, there's a cop car there, there's a police officer directing traffic, and he goes, quick, get this car out of the road. So you back the wrecker up where it's got to go, you start jimmying things around, and sometimes you got to climb underneath the car. We had the thing back then, it was not a flatbed. It was the type with the harness in the back, and you'd lower it, and you'd back it up to the bumper or the front of the back of the car. You would then hook the car up and then you lift one end up off the ground and tow it on the other set of wheels. And we were never towing more than a couple miles because we were towing within a city called Birmingham from the accident site scene to the gas station usually. Once or twice I towed them to the police station or the impound yard, different reasons. And I remember because my number one concern was simply I don't want to get hit by a car and I want to get this car to here as quickly as possible, that occasionally I'd be reaching underneath the car and all of a sudden I'd feel my arm burning. Not burning from fire, burning from battery acid. And I wrecked, unfortunately, I wrecked more jeans and work gloves from battery acid than anything else. And it was just a hazard of the job. But, of course, as technology changes, these problems change also. And so, yeah, the odds of your electric car catching on fire in this way appear to be fairly slim. But keep in mind that as the population of these electric cars grows, that small percentage of getting accidents, that small percentage will actually become larger. The percentage can stay the same if the population gets larger. That number gets larger. I know you want to argue with that, but don't. In other words, if 10% of 100 cars are defective, that'd be 10 cars. 10% of 1,000 cars get defective, that'd be 100 cars. I'm not saying those are the actual numbers. I'm merely pointing out that the population gets larger, percentage stays the same, but the number within that percentage is actually a larger number. So the technology changes, and how we react to it's going to have to change as well. It's something we're going to have to think about. Is there a hazard here because the batteries have been damaged? Have they been damaged? And is there a hazard here? You have to think about that. So again, you know, when I towed the vehicles, battery acid, antifreeze, engine oil, trans fluid, gasoline. I've seen cars that got rear-ended, split the gas tank open. There's gasoline all over the ground, you know. So I'm not saying that electric cars are more dangerous. I'm not saying electric cars are bad. I think electric cars are coming. I think they're the wave of the future. It's a question of when they get here with respect to when it tips with more electric cars or anything else. But U.S. safety investigators are saying that electric vehicle fires pose risks to first responders, and they're asking the industry to step up and do something about educating people on how to put those fires out when they happen. Jason Sennett, thanks a lot. Questions or comments, put them below. Otherwise, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law.
What if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.